Now we'll move on to agenda item number 24, report and possible discussion on Evergreen Study Report. Monica Wheels.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
This is a report-only item. In January, we contracted to have a compensation and a classification study done. We hired Evergreen Solutions, Inc., and Dr. Jeff Ling, the Executive Vice President of Evergreen Solution, is here today to present. He's going to discuss their methodology, their findings, and their recommendations. There's two areas that we will act on. One, effective 8-1, or pretty close to immediately, are their recommendations on the FLSA changes. We had, I believe, 5 total employees that will be changing one way or another. And then the second change that will affect the budget slightly and have been included in the budget amounts, those effects will go, or the changes will go into effect on 9-1. And I'll turn the meeting over to... the last time we did a study, a thorough compensation study, was in, I believe, 2002, 2003 time period. And to ensure that we were keeping up with the market, our compensation levels were competitive, and that we were able to recruit and retain employees. That is why we decided to go out and do a thorough study to see where we stand in the market.
Good morning. I'd like to share some brief comments with you this morning and answer any questions that you might have in regards to the work that we've done with your organization over the last 4 to 6 months. The next slide, we have a brief summary. I want to talk a little bit about study goals. Why would you go through a process like this? And Monica was good enough to highlight a few of those. Very briefly touch on the methodology. What were the steps that we went through in completing this process? Current situation, talk to you about what did we hear from your employees. Your employees interacted with us throughout this process, provided a variety of feedback to us, and I want to share the highlights of those. Talk about the recommendations, then conclude with implementation planning or some of the action items that might be coming forward in the future. A process like this is really about analyzing your current system. We begin by looking at what are the strengths and weaknesses of the system you have in place from a compensation classification standpoint. We want to determine your market competitiveness, or you might have heard of that being referred to as your external equity. In essence, with the skills, capabilities I have as an employee of this organization, what would other organizations pay me for those combination of skills and abilities? And then we want to take that information and identify an equitable, fair, as well as practical solution that you can put into place to help you to retain and attract in the future the best and brightest people for this organization. We take a look at what steps we went through. We started off with a kickoff meeting where we really briefed your staff on what the process included. We went through a meeting, or series of meetings, where we did orientation sessions with your employees where we let them know what this was about, what we were hoping to accomplish, what a study like this typically entails. We went through a series of employee focus groups where we met with your employees and asked them a series of 10 to 12 questions about why do they come to work for this organization, why have they stayed, what are some of the pros and cons of the compensation classification practices that are here. In addition, we conducted a series of interviews with your top managers or your high-level managers. We asked all employees to complete a job assessment tool, fancy term for a survey where we asked them what do they do on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis, and what do they think are the most important tasks, and how does that relate to their job descriptions. We asked your managers also to complete a survey of if they could change anything about the organization to provide higher quality services from a human resource standpoint, what would they change in the organization. We went through a comprehensive salary survey where we went out to your market peers in the different areas that you do business, and we asked them what do they pay for their skills or capabilities that they would hire out of the marketplace. We went through a process of analyzing that data and determining where you are above market or you're below market based on those jobs for comparison. We made recommendations on both, on classification and compensation. I'll share those with you today. And then we concluded with developing some implementation plans for you, which Monica highlighted some of those in your agenda item that you were presented today, and a number of those would be moving forward in the future. And then the last step after this presentation is to take any feedback that you have for us and prepare a final written document that we'll provide to you for your review. If we take a look at your current situation, we found that you have 3 pay plans, one that's IT related, one exempt, one non-exempt based on the Fair Labor Standards Act. Majority of employees are paid above the midpoint. meaning you have a nice distribution. What you want to see in an organization is if I stay with an organization over time, I'm rewarded for remaining in that organization and I move up through the ranks, not so much from a promotional standpoint, but from a pay standpoint. And that has gone on here in the past. We found that approximately 21% of employees fall in that first quartile, meaning those would fall in the first 25% of the pay levels within each of the ranges. And we found that the average employee has been with the authority 8.5 years. And we find that the national average among public entities is typically around 7 years, so that puts you ahead of many of your public peers throughout the country in all categories for being able to retain the staff and the employees that work with you. We take a look at employee feedback. What did your employees tell us as we went through this process? Employees told us that there's a lot of job stability. The benefits are very good. It's slightly higher pay than some private sector jobs. There was a strong commitment to the organization we encountered in almost every meeting that we had with your employees. We like working here. We like the people we work with. We like our supervisors. They remain with the authority for several reasons, and a lot of it has to do with the work environment. We know from empirical research in the public and the private sector that employees typically don't stay only because of pay. Employees stay because they like the work they're doing, they like who they work for, meaning the supervisor or manager, and they like the people they work with or the relationships that they have with their peer employees. And we found all three of those characteristics within your organization. What is working? Employees told us benefits. The retirement's very good. They're very happy with the tuition reimbursement plan that you have, the flexibility in hours, and the performance pay. What were some of the things that they highlighted for us that they were more concerned about or that might be negatives? There were several classification issues, and I'll talk about those in the presentation this morning. There was a lot of concern with two generic titles, meaning myself and someone else has a very similar job, but they're not identical. I have to have a skill maybe this other person doesn't have to have, but that's not being recognized. But there's not a difference in the jobs that we both hold. There was a concern with license requirements hurting some of your recruitment and maintenance and plants and some of the lab titles. And also there was a concern that previous experience is not always accounted for at the point of hiring or as a person moves through the pay system that's present within the authority. Other employee feedback on compensation, there was a concern with an inability to use paid time off due to operational requirements, meaning the work doesn't allow people to always use the time that they've accrued, the inability to get performance pay for those that are at the top of the range, meaning if I've reached the very highest level I can in my pay range, what happens to me after that? Where can I go from there? How can I gather additional resources or additional pay? Pay for the higher level techs was too low. That was a comment that we received. Performance evaluations are too vague. These comments related specifically to what an employee wants to see, and really an employee in any organization wants to see this, is something specific, not just about their job, but about them and the contribution they made. And in essence, it places a slightly larger burden on your managers to take more time to provide those personal comments or those personal details. Employees were saying that was something that they would receive very well if that occurred more in the future. And then finally, the opportunity to get cash for overtime, or cash out those benefits that are accrued through overtime. And that's a fairly prevalent trend as the economy has weakened throughout the country. Employee groups in almost every public organization are looking for ways in which they can translate intangible benefits to more tangible benefits. And that was a question and some concerns that that occurred here as well. What did we learn from the salary survey? When we went out to your peers in each of your major operational areas, we found among 55 benchmarks and 55 targets that roughly you were above the market average in each of the major markets that you work. You're roughly about 5% above the average minimum. You're about 1.78% above the market midpoint and about 1.18 above the market average at maximum. What does this mean? What do these numbers mean? These numbers don't mean you've done anything right or you've done anything wrong. These numbers mean basically you've remained fairly competitive in comparison to the market average in the areas that you operate and in the labor markets that you draw upon. Basically, what you would want to see in any public organization is somewhere between plus or minus 5% in these values, meaning one cycle of change would be sufficient in order to close the gap that would be present. So somewhere between 3 and 5% is usually the float, if you will, that occurs in most organizations around their market average. In your case, you're very, very close. You're less than 5% in each of the major indicators. Which indicator do we look at that usually determines the highest probability that people stay or will come to your organization? That's the midpoint. And we find that you're second closest in the midpoint, less than 2% differential there and slightly above. What this means is when someone looks at your organization for potential employment, they'll find that the ranges that you offer in your advertisements are competitive in comparison to what's present in the marketplace as a whole. And that's where you want to be in order to bring people in and also to retain people in your organization. What do we find in addition to that? You're approximately 1.5% below the market midpoint on your clerical and administrative benchmark titles. So what I shared with you before is including all the jobs that we looked at. Now as we break that into job families or job groupings, we find that you're slightly below in your clerical and your administrative, but still within that plus or minus 5%. You're about 4.89% above the market average midpoint across all manual trades titles included in the survey. So you're slightly above in those positions that we're finding are more and more competitive, not just in your region, but throughout the country to attract and retain. And within the midpoint range, we found that the authority positions are on average roughly even with the market average for technical and paraprofessional jobs, meaning that you're roughly right at what you would expect to find among your peers within the marketplace. Among employee groups for professional and managerial positions, you're roughly 4.82% above, and you're roughly 1% below on your executive management positions at the midpoint. All of these would be, as I mentioned before, within the ranges of what you would find in a healthy organization that does a very good job at managing compensation. What do we find structurally? We're recommending that the IT scale be merged back in to your regular scale. Obviously, there was a time period in which, especially previous to Y2K, where IT jobs became extremely competitive, especially along the I-35 corridor, and we're finding that that period has now ended. Obviously, in the future, that period may reoccur again, but as of right now, most organizations are pushing toward convergence on their pay scales for IT versus non-IT employees. We're recommending adding one more pay grade to the non-exempt scale, giving you a little bit more room to reward employees based on the feedback we receive, but also the market results that I shared with you. Increase the width of the non-exempt scale to roughly 52%, meaning we're stretching those ranges a little bit more so those individuals that top out have a little bit more room before they reach the point in which they top out. And we're recommending that the width of the exempt scale move to 57%. So we're giving you slightly even more room among those individuals that don't garner overtime. This is very small, what we're presenting here, but what it does is break out the pay scale and gives you an idea of what the minimum of the pay scale would be for exempt and the maximum would be. Gives you the range spreads in each of the columns and the midpoint progressions or the movement that exists between each of those pay grades. Here's your non-exempt information as well, demonstrating the 52% width of each of those ranges, the minimum and the maximum among those entire families of jobs that we're recommending to you, as well as the midpoint progression for each of those ranges as well. On the classification side, it was a little bit more complicated. On the compensation side, we found that you, as I mentioned, had done a very good job of dealing with the challenges of what the most recent several years market has done to many organizations. In your case, on classification, there were a number of jobs that had changed. Moreover, there were some latent effects that occurred due to your previous study and consolidations in your previous study. We're recommending here that you break out the system tech positions into separate areas. So instead of having a single classification that all of these individuals are titled and evaluated by, that you go back to a more differentiated structure based on the comments received from your employees, but also the review we did of your peers, other organizations that these individuals might be drawn from. We're recommending that you break out the maintenance workers into functional areas, heavy equipment, carpenter, welder, electrician, crane operator. This is primarily because within the market, we know these jobs compensate differently. A crane operator does not make the same as an electrician within the marketplace. However, because those jobs have been collapsed here in the past, you're evaluating as well as rewarding those jobs in a very similar manner that's different than what occurs in the marketplace, meaning if I want to seek employment somewhere else, I gain the benefit of potentially making more by leaving your organization and going to an organization that differentiates these jobs. We are recommending that you establish a law enforcement sergeant position for further specialization in law enforcement. We're recommending a senior staff counsel position. We're recommending that you change the lab water or the water lab positions in accordance with the accreditation program recommendations that you were looking at previously. And we're recommending changing IT titles to better reflect duties. And this is simply a modernization effort that would keep pace with what's going on as technology changes, not only within your local area, but nationally as well. On FLSA, we went through a legal review to look at where each of your jobs fall based on the information that your employees provided to us. And in this case, we're recommending exempt and non-exempt for three positions based on the new standards that came out of Department of Labor back in 2005. And we're recommending that non-exempt to exempt for several of your positions as well. And these are the five positions that would change the status based on an August 1st date, as Monica mentioned. The implementation costs to move to the new pay schedules that were illustrated on the two hard-to-read slides before for exempt and non-exempt, and in essence to move everyone within the range that they would fall, so they're at least within that minimum through that maximum, there's roughly a cost of $23,618, as well as this would address those jobs that we found in the market survey were significantly underpaid or outside of that 5% range, that a correction would bring those individuals to parity, not only within the external market, but within your internal pay schedule as well.
Is that $23,000 per month, per year, per what?
Per year. That would be a reoccurring cost. On the operational side, so these would be things to administer your program or to potentially gain additional efficiencies and effectiveness in your program. Consider breaking out the plant operators and plant maintenance techs to four levels, so something moving forward to look at. Review existing performance evaluation system to make it more job specific. The point made by your employees is correct. The best practice would be to move towards something that took into account not only more about their individual jobs, but more as them and as individuals and their individual performance levels. We're recommending eliminating the license requirement for plant maintenance techs, as well as consider providing additional flexibility in overtime pay. At this point, we're still working with your HR folks to determine what would be the best approach for that last bullet. And we'll finalize that for the written report for you and make a more specific recommendation. That's our last outstanding item in working in finalizing the report after today's meeting. I appreciate your time and be happy to entertain any questions you might have.
Yes, sir. Did I understand that you're recommending a more highly specialized job title structure, for want of a better way to put it? Probably didn't use the right word. In other words, more specialized breakdowns in the classifications?
Yes, sir.
I guess my question is that consistent with the job market in this economy that we're in today? Because people are tending to move around from one discipline to another a little bit more, it seems.
You are correct. In this market, in the labor market as a whole, individuals are finding if they specialize too much, they may find an ability to find another job or to retain their current job. What we found in your organization is you're dividing the work. So the actual manner in which the work is accomplished matches better those specialized titles than a generic title. So although a generic title was created, it was more to match at the time a human resource best practice or maybe a human resource trend, where we found that your organization has continued to be run in a manner where it doesn't match a single title. It matches more specialization of that labor, specialization of work. The other concern that we had is when we looked at the breakout of that title into the specializations, there are pay differentials that exist in the marketplace between a heavy equipment operator, a carpenter, an electrician, a plumber. And as a result, your peers are paying those individuals not with a single pay range, but with separate ranges, and actually some higher than others than what you're currently provided. So what we're doing is moving you toward a great, more flexible, or giving you greater flexibility and slightly more specialization, but not precluding as you go through more job sharing or you leverage the talents of individuals more in the future to allow them to cross-train or to cross-fill in for each other in the future.
So in terms of recruiting, you don't think that would impede our ability to attract good talent that may be highly trained in one area but very adaptable to some?
Our hope is it would actually enhance your ability to recruit.
I'd like to address that a little bit. Some of our recruiting difficulties in these technical areas have been we've been recruiting maintenance workers to fill electrician jobs or heavy equipment operator jobs, and we are not getting the level of ability necessarily because they look at it as, oh, that's a maintenance job, so we're not pulling in the electricians into this. And so even though I believe we're still calling them maintenance/electrician, we're hoping that by specializing it, we would be receiving more applications from folks who are specialized in electrician or plumbing or you know, heavy equipment, whatever.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.